We have been studying the book of Ephesians for the last several weeks, and last time we began to look at Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 through 19, and we entitled that passage, Walk Not as Gentiles. We're going to pick up where we left off in just a moment, but before we begin, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for being the great God that thou art. We thank you for your dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who came from heaven's glory and took on the form of a man, lived a sinless life, and died and shed his precious blood on that cruel cross at Calvary, and was buried and rose again the third day. So all that call on him call upon the name of the Lord from a heart of faith, believing it's only his shed blood and nothing else that pays for their sins, past, present, and future, and secures them a home in heaven. Father, we just thank you for his ultimate sacrifice for us. And Father, we pray that you'd bless the study today, bless the listener. We commit this all into thy hands, and we ask it all in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. Now, last time we began to look at Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 through 19. I just want to read those verses again, and then we'll get into our study. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. Now here, Paul describes in great detail how unsaved Gentiles walk. Amen? And we saw so far a lost Gentile walks in vanity, worthlessness. He walks in darkness. He walks in alienation. He walks in ignorance. He walks in blindness. And we want to pick up, and we also want to see that the unsaved Gentile walks in callousness. Yes, he walks in callousness. And the reason the unsaved Gentile walks in callousness is because he is past feeling. You see, he cannot feel the convicting work of his conscience. I want you to turn with me, if you would, to 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2. That's 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. The words of God have this to say. Speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. See, this is how an unsaved person walks. He no longer listens to his conscience. His conscience has been seared. Amen. He no longer listens to it. Amen. You see, he cannot feel the effects of sin without increasing the frequency and intensity of it. You see, the unsaved have become, they've yielded themselves to iniquity, to sin, and they become servants to sin. Amen. Also, we want to see that the unsaved Gentile walks in lasciviousness. In other words, lasciviousness, feeling morbid sexual desire, unhealthy, like a disease, see? Because he is guided by his lusts, and he lives to satisfy the insatiable lusts of his flesh. Turn with me, if you would, to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2, and we're going to look at verses 2 and 3. The words of God have this to say. This is how an unsaved person walks, an unsaved Gentile walks. Where in time past she walked, according to the course of this world. See? The unsaved walked according to the course, to the direction of the world. How the world goes, they go. See? According to the prince of the power of the air. That's another name for the devil. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. The children of disobedience. That's who the unsaved are. They walk 180 degrees from the way God would want them to walk. And then verse 3, we read from the words of God, among whom also we all had our conversations in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath. See? So that's how an unsaved person walks. Amen? He walks desiring and fulfilling the desires of his flesh. A child of wrath, disobedient to everything that God is and stands for. Amen? Now, we see then that the unsaved is given over to sin. Not only given over to sin, but more importantly, the sin has complete control over him. Then we want to see that the unsaved walk in uncleanness because he cannot be clean until he is washed and sanctified by the Lord. Now the Word of God says, let's turn there to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, we're going to look at verses 9 through 11 together. The words of God say this: know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. See, here the Word of God was directed towards the believers at Corinth. And they were reminded how they were before they were saved. Amen. Before they were washed and sanctified and justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. See? And that's why, amen, that the unsaved walk in uncleanness. Because they haven't been washed and sanctified by the Lord Jesus Christ and the Spirit of God. Amen. You see, Paul calls what the unsaved does as the works of the flesh. Amen? The works of the flesh. Look with me in Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 to 21. Here in the words of God, we see the works of the flesh identified. Now the works of the flesh are manifest. That word manifest means revealed. So these things are done outwardly. People, you can see people that do this type of behavior or these things, amen, that are against God. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envying, murders, drunkenness, reviling, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, we also see that the unsaved walk in greediness, which is excessive desire, because he wants everything that he can get and has no self-control. Now, a Christian, on the other hand, is to have self-control. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, we want to look at 25 to 27. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning in verse 25, the words of God say this: "And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run not as uncertainty, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." Hear what the Word of God is saying. That an unsaved person, amen, who runs a race, an athlete, amen, to win a prize, to win a crown, is temperate in all things. You know, keeps his body clean, keeps it so it can perform to its best. And Paul uses that as an illustration to say, so I do the same thing, but I'm running for a better crown. Christians are running the race for a better crown, not a corruptible crown, but an incorruptible crown. That's why we are to keep our bodies under control, to have self-control, see? And Paul said he does that so that he could keep his witness. So that when people, when he preached to others the words of God, they wouldn't be able to say, but wait a minute, you're living this way. How can you be preaching this? That's what he says, why he keeps his body under, so he keeps his testimony, so he should not be a castaway or be no good for God. Amen. So as Christians, we're to have self-control and not, amen, as the unsaved walk in greediness. So, we've seen in this passage of Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 through 19, Paul describes in great detail how unsaved Gentiles walk. And we shouldn't walk as Christians like this. A lost person walks in vanity, which means worthlessness, because he has a vain mind. An unsaved person walks in darkness because his understanding is darkened. See, he needs light to direct his path, and that light comes from the words of God. The unsaved person walks in alienation because he is separated from the love and life of God. That unsaved person walks in ignorance because he is ignorant of God and God's words. That unsaved person walks in blindness because his heart is blind to the truth. And we saw that he walks in callousness because he is past feeling. He can't feel the convicting work of his conscience. He walks in lasciviousness because he is guided by his lust. He lives to satisfy the insatiable lust of his flesh. We see that that unsaved person walks in uncleanness because he cannot be cleaned until he is washed and sanctified by the Lord. And then finally we saw that he walks in greediness because he wants everything that he can get and has no self-control. So you can see how he walks. His walk starts with vain imagination, followed by cutting off the light of God, then the life of God, then the words of God. After that, he is totally blind. And this condition leaves him callous, lascivious, unclean, and greedy. Amen. Now we want to look at Ephesians chapter 4 in verses 21 to 32, to the end of the chapter. And this passage we'll entitle Putting on the New Man. So let's read Ephesians chapter 4, verses 21 to 32 together. If so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt, according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, and wrath, and anger, and clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Now, we saw in our passage before this passage what it is to walk as a lost Gentile. When we get saved, however, we do not automatically change into the new creature that we have become. There are all kinds of things that have to be put off, and there are new things that have to be put on in order for our lives to manifest that we are new creatures in Christ. That's why some people who get saved change and grow steadily as they mature, while others don't even appear to be saved. You know, you are beginning to grow up in the new man in the Lord when you see the following dozen or so changes in your life. The first one is your conversation will change. Amen. We read in verse 22 of Ephesians 4 that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man. Now, we want to turn to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 3, and we're going to compare that verse with Philippians chapter 3, verse 20, and Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. So first of all, we want to go to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 3. And the Word of God says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 3, Among whom also we had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. So first we see how we were, how our conversation was before we were saved. And I said we want to compare that verse with Philippians chapter 3. So let's look at Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20. We read this. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. What a difference. Amen. We were disobedient. Our conversation before we were saved was talking about fulfilling the desires of the flesh. But now, look at our conversation. It's in heaven. Our conversation is heavenly. Amen. From hence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the difference now is our eyes are up to heaven, looking for the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Before, what were they? Looking downward to this earth and the wickedness of this earth. Amen. Also, let's look at Philippians chapter 1 in verse number 27. We read here, notice, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. See, again, what a difference. Our conversation, let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. What a difference. Our conversation should center around the gospel of Christ. Everything we say should bring honor and glory to Christ. Should not distract from the gospel of Christ. Amen. Again, comparing that with Ephesians chapter 2, verse 3, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. That's how we were. That's how our conversation was before we get saved. But now our conversation is in heaven. It should be a heavenly conversation, and our conversation should be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. See? So what should happen is you'll quit telling the dirty jokes as you did before you were saved, and you'll start witnessing, for instance. See? So we're looking at things to show that you're beginning to grow up into the new man. Amen. That a true change has taken place, that you're truly a new creature in Christ. So one of those things is your conversation's going to change. Another thing that's going to change is you won't give in to those old deceitful lusts. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22 again. That you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. Now, we need to go to Romans chapter 6, verse 12. Romans chapter 6, verse 12. And we're going to do, again, some comparison. So, Romans chapter 6, verse number 12. Notice what the words of God say. It says, let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal bodies, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. So, here we see in the words of God, we're told, let not sin, therefore, reign in our body, our flesh, Because if it does, then you and I are going to obey the lust thereof. And this is what an unsaved person does. Because sin is reigns in his flesh, in his body. Therefore, he will obey the lust of his flesh. Now, compare that with what it says in the next verse. Romans 6, verse 13, it says, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. And that's how you were when you were unsaved. But, okay, here's a but. So, how should we yield ourselves? But yield yourselves unto God as those who are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. See, that's the change that should take place. To show that you're growing spiritually, maturing spiritually, that you're a new creature in Christ. Because sin no longer reigns. Amen. You think of a king reigning. Amen. Controlling. Sin no longer controls your flesh. Amen. You're no longer giving into it, obeying the lusts of that flesh. No, because you have yielded your members, you've yielded yourself unto to God. And because you've done that, you're no longer an instrument of unrighteousness, but an instrument of righteousness that God can use for his honor and glory. Amen. See? So, another thing that you can see a change in your life is you won't give into those old deceitful lusts. See, this concerns not only the lusts of the flesh, but is also the lust of the eyes. Another change you're going to see is you'll start thinking about spiritual things. Look at in verse 23. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. See? Let's look at some verses. Colossians chapter 3 with me. Colossians chapter number 3, verses 1 and 2. Notice what the words of God say. It says, here's a condition. If ye then be risen with Christ, in other words, if you're a saved person, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God, and set your affection on the things above, not on the things of the earth. See? You'll start thinking about spiritual things. You'll be thinking about heaven. Amen. About witnessing to people. Amen. And wanting to see people get saved. And you'll talk to them about the Lord and how to be saved. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 with me. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. See, now we have the Spirit of God, the wisdom of God. So we're going to start thinking about spiritual things and speaking them. Before, all you could think about were carnal things. See, you must be renewed or transformed by the renewing of your mind. Amen? In Romans chapter 12, verse 2, we read this, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Amen. So you'll start, if you're growing in the new man, you will start thinking about and speaking spiritual things. We're going to stop there. We've run out of time. Hope you'll join us next time as we continue our study through the book of Ephesians. May God richly bless you, is my prayer, and good day.